Acts chapter number 19, and we're going to read responsively from verse 11 down to verse number 20. Verse 11 down to verse number 20. I'll read verse 11, and then you join with me on every other verse, please. Acts 19, 11. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we need you today. We thank you for this event in the word of God, and I pray that you'd help us to rightly divide it. And it is so applicable even in 2021. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd give us great discernment. I pray that we would be filled with your spirit, speaker and listener alike, as believers, that we would be emptied of ourself, that we would again not allow our hearts and minds to wander to last week or even things that are coming this week or even concerns that we might have. Lord, I pray that we would just leave those to the side and allow your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. This morning, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, an unusual path to revival. An unusual path to revival. The Apostle Paul is now midway through journey number 3. We've been working our way through all of these missionary journeys, and he has stayed in the city of Ephesus now for some time. That is where he's at in Acts chapter number 19. This particular area of Ephesus would be his headquarters for missionary journey number 3. Ephesus, we mentioned this last week, if you remember. Last week we said that Ephesus was a very multicultural city. Many different languages would be spoken there. It was a trade center, and so, of course, brought in people from all over the known world at that time. Paul would actually give 3 years of his ministry to the city of Ephesus, and out of the city of Ephesus and this church, many other churches would be started in Asia Minor. And, you know, that's something that we pray as well, and through our missionaries or even other people, that God would allow us to continue to see churches planted, whether it's here in the Lower Mainland or across our great country of Canada and even yet around the world. But this is what's happened in the early ministry here in this third journey. Now, some of the things about Ephesus. Ephesus was also known for a lot of magic, a lot of black magic, a lot of occult-type practices. It was very prevalent, and we see that right here in our text that we read even this morning. They would seek spells for all kinds of things. They would seek spells for good health, and they would seek spells for wealth. And you could go right on down the line there, always trying to get something that would help them along the way, obviously looking in, for help in all the wrong places, so to speak. Okay, so now we come to this part in our text today, and we are reminded once again that the spiritual journey that Paul is on, but also the spiritual journey that we are on, is one of great attack. There is an attack that is always prevalent at any moment. We have no idea, as we learned on Wednesday night, we have no idea when the devil is going to attack, but the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And that word devour, as Brother Tejada told us, means to that there's nothing left. There's nothing left over. And that's exactly what the devil is up to today. The Christian life is a battle. The Christian life is not a playground, okay? Now, praise the Lord, it's not in our strength. Praise the Lord. And as we see here, we're going to learn in just a few minutes that if we try to do this in our strength, it's going to be just like the seven sons of Sceva, however that's said, Sceva. I'll probably say it that different way six times, different times, so that's okay. The seven sons of Sceva, it's going to be just like them and how it resulted with them. And so we'll talk about that when we get to it. But it's a battle for believers in Ephesus, and it's still a battle for us today. Paul reminds us in the book of Ephesians, by the way, written to the Christians at Ephesus, in verse 12 of chapter 6, he reminds us, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So the battle today, as we know, is it's really not even seen. It's not in the seen world. The battle is in the unseen world. And I'm thankful we can't see that, quite frankly. I think at times it might scare us a bit, the unseen world that's there. And again, I'm thankful that I'm covered as a Christian. I'm covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm safe in Him, and I'm secure in His hands. John 10 tells us that. But Satan has several things. Just quickly, by way of the introduction, Satan today has a devilish dominion. He has a devilish dominion. There is an area, of course, he is the prince and power of the air. God has given him whatever God has allowed him to roam and move around, and we believe that he is not omnipresent, but he has a great team that helps him, demons that also left heaven with him and have joined forces, if you will, with him. And so he has a dominion. He also has a devilish deception. He's all about lying. He's all about twisting the truth. And all of these lead to a devilish destruction. He is seeking to destroy my life. He cannot, by the way, I'm saved. That means we learned last Sunday, who lives inside of us as believers? The Holy Spirit. So we can't have the Holy Spirit in us and a demon in us at the same time. It is impossible. Don't be deceived. Don't be scared about this. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you cannot be possessed of a demon. It is impossible. Now, there's a difference between possession and oppression. We can definitely be oppressed. We can definitely be attacked. And it will happen. And it does happen. And praise God for the victory, though, that God gives us. Today, I want to encourage us to continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. But I also want to continue to warn us that Satan is not rolling over and playing dead just because you read your Bible and I read my Bible. He wants to pull you away, and he wants to pull me away from the things of the Lord. So let's see exactly what happens in these verses and how we can make application today. There's a great miracle. Great miracles are taking place in Ephesus with the advancing of the gospel. Right away it says that. Look at that, verse 11. And God wrought special what? Miracles by the hands of Paul. Can I ask you this, church? Does God still do miracles? Yes, he does. Does God still have all power? Yes, he does. Is God still able to do anything that God wants to do? Yes, he can. I firmly believe that in 2021, God is still working miracles. Let's not put God in a little teeny box. He's not in a little teeny box. He's not even in a big box. He made the boxes, okay? He is God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so when we read this, and we're aware, as we've said repeatedly, Acts is a book of transition. The book of transition. God was performing certain miracles in certain ways that God may not, more than likely will not, perform those same miracles today. He was again, it was a stamp of approval on the Apostle Paul's ministry. I thought about this handkerchief, and I'm not going to come around and toss this on you, brother, and bring healing to you today, okay? I don't have that kind of power, okay? And but that's what, literally, that word there, handkerchief, in verse number 12, you know what that literally was? It was literally a sweat rag. That's what it was. It was this right here. Okay, I carry this with me, not for miracles, but to take care of the sweat, okay? But that's what God used that. Why did God use that? Again, I don't know exactly why God used that. If I was God, I could tell you why, and I'm not God. But I know this, it was the transition of time. Many things that we read in the book of Acts, we don't read about them ever again. So don't be looking for those things necessarily, even today. Yes, God does miracles. Yes, God heals. Don't lose faith in that. You can pray to the God of heaven for healing. God heals some. God chooses not to heal some. He didn't heal Paul, did he? He asked him repeatedly, God, take this thorn in the flesh. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for you. Have you ever noticed about that, that God didn't even talk to him about his ailment? He just went right to, my grace is sufficient. Just kind of ignored the prayer and said, my grace is sufficient. Everything's going to be just fine. Let's see what takes place. Okay, number one, we've got to get into this. Number one, the counteraction of Satan. Again, great things are happening. God's doing great miracles by the hands of Paul. People are being brought in, and literally they're taking Paul's sweat rag in verse 12, and they're putting it on them, and their diseases are taken from them, and the evil spirits are out of them. And wouldn't you know it, somebody's watching. The Bible says in verse number 12, verse number 13, that certain of the vagabond Jews, the exorcists, these are people that had power as well. Remember, there are two powers in this world. There's the power of God, and there's the power of Satan. Satan is not more powerful, obviously, than God, but Satan has great power. And Satan has false prophets. Might I tell you that he didn't just have these seven sons of Sceva, he also has false prophets in 2021. And we need to be sober and be vigilant for who we're listening to on the internet, who we're reading of, and all these things, that to make sure that they are not a wolf in sheep's clothing. They're out there today. They may sound exactly like what we think they should sound like, but we need to be very careful and discerning of that. Satan challenges every work of God. Satan opposes the work of God. What is it that God works through in 2021? What is it that God works through today? What is it called? Who knows? It's not a hard question. What does he work through in 2021? The number one thing God works through, the church. That means that Satan opposes everything about a church that stands on the Word of God. Everything about it, he opposes. That means he opposes you, Brother Blake. That means he opposes me. That means he opposes every marriage represented in this room. He opposes the children in this room. He opposes the teenagers in this room. He opposes you that are joining us online. By the way, thank you for joining us online today, if you are right now. Satan opposes the church. He wants to defeat the church. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to discourage and all of that. This is God's creation, the local church. And Satan opposes everything about it. Satan opposed the work of Paul. Satan opposes today the work of the local church. And he is always wanting to destroy. Okay, now, interesting though about this, there are seven men mentioned here. These seven men are playing around with wicked spirits. But notice what it says about them. Verse 14. They were the son of who? Right? And who? Sons of Sceva, a Jew, a chief of the priests. Their dad was a priest. Their dad was religious. I don't know that he was a Christian. By their testimony, I would say he wasn't, but that doesn't always come to be true. But here they are. They are being used greatly, and they are being used greatly by the power of Satan. And they are walking around, and they are practicing exorcisms in the power of Satan. And they come up on this sweat rag miracle, and they look at this sweat rag miracle, and they think, man, that's a really cool miracle. We should try that too. I firmly believe that they were performing miracles. It says they were. Not in the power of God, but in the power of Satan. And here we see, underneath the counteraction of Satan, these seven men, number one, they abused the name of Jesus. They abused the name of Jesus. What is a vagabond Jew? A vagabond Jew. These are people who traveled from town to town, making a living, claiming they could heal and cast out demons. Any way they could do something and it would be helpful to them, no matter what it meant, if it meant that they would be able to get a little more money, they would do anything. They would do anything for profit. Think about that. Be careful. Be careful. Even as Christians, sometimes if we're not careful, money can tend to really get a hold of us. Let's not let money get a hold of us. The love of money is the root of all evil. Let's make sure that we never allow money to control what we're going to do, how we're going to decide something. And so, but this is what they did. And notice what it said. They thought they could use the name of Jesus and get gain from it. You notice that? Look at the end of verse 13. We adjure you by Jesus, but notice the statement right after it, whom Paul preacheth. In other words, they're saying, we don't believe in Jesus. Paul believes in Jesus, but if we can just toss out his name like a lucky charm, if we can just toss out his name like a lucky coin, if we can just say his name and something magical is going to happen, we'll say whose ever name. It doesn't matter whatever the name is. Just pick the name as they're watching this take place, right? And so they just say, well, we want whatever that name will give us. They're taking the name of Jesus in vain. They're not even Christians. They're not saved. They're lost. And yet they're taking the name. They're abusing the name. It is impossible to duplicate the power of God. It's impossible. The power of God cannot be worked up by just saying, I want to have God's power. You know, we can have the power of God if we follow the formula for the power of God written in His Word. And it isn't so that we can have a pat on the back. It isn't so that we can have a full church building. It's so that God can be honored and glorified. Yes, the power of God is still available today. I believe wholeheartedly that God's power can be known in your life and in my life. And by the way, if you're saved, you have experienced the power of God. If you're on your way to heaven, you have experienced the power of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have experienced the power of God to be able to take a lost sinner like me and a lost sinner like you and to lift us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. That was powerful. Almighty power needed. So we praise God for that, but they abused the name of Jesus. Today in 2021, many religions, if not all, will identify in some way with the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus, yes, yes, Jesus, yes. I've heard that name. Maybe not everyone. They will even say, yes, we believe in Jesus. Many religious groups today, yes, we believe in Jesus. The problem is that their view of Jesus is not based on the Word of God. And I pray that our view is based on the Word of God. I'd like you to hold your finger or put a marker in Acts 9, and I'd like to show you three quick verses, Matthew chapter 8, because these are things that we need to know. These are things that we need to know as a believer. We need to know who Jesus is, not just because Pastor Turner said this, or because Pastor Nathan said this, or some preacher on the radio said this, or whatever, but so that we know God's Word says this. Look what it says in Matthew 8 and verse 29, please. Matthew 8 and verse 29. We'll read 28 as well. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, now this is the devils. Isn't this something? You can learn something from devils in church. How about that? Think about that. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, mark it, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Think about that. Isn't that a great prepositional phrase? Before the time? What time? The end time, when these demons know their fate. They know the lake of fire is coming for them. And by the way, Satan knows the lake of fire is coming for him. And that ought to encourage us today. We are on the winning side. Don't lose sight of that today. It might seem like the world and the world system and all of that is advancing today. But we know that the power of the gospel is what's advancing today. And we know that the work of God will be accomplished. So they say, before the time. Isn't that interesting? But even the devils believe here. They say, the Son of God. Turn over a few pages to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1, please. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And just quickly here, Mark 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. We believe the Bible is infallible, inerrant, inspired. It's God-breathed. It's holy. And here we see that Mark, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, writes and says, John Mark writes and says that Jesus is, Christ is the Son of God. And then just one more, look at Luke chapter number 1, Luke's Gospel chapter number 1, and verse 35. And here we have direct from heaven, we have the word of the angel. And the Bible says in verse number 35, from Gabriel's own lips, the Bible says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. How am I going to have this baby? I've never known a man. How am I going to have this baby? The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, here you go, shall be called thee Son of God. Oh, praise God today. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No matter what the world says, no matter what religions say, God's Son is Jesus Christ. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, interceding for us today. God's Word clearly tells us Jesus is the Son of God. We need to know that. We need to know that. We need to be able to take God's Word and say, here's what God's Word says. My faith is in the Word of God. My faith is not necessarily even in the pastor. My faith is in the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The Bible tells us in James 2:19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. To simply believe that there is a historical figure, and there is historically, by the name of Jesus is not enough. To believe that He is the Son of God, that's where the salvation comes into place. We pray, I hope you pray regularly, and we ask in prayer in the name of Jesus, not for our fame or glory, but because we're wanting His will to be accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen, we say. May we not take His name in vain. These seven sons of Sceva, they took His name in vain. They thought they could just throw out His name. Secondly, underneath the counteraction of Satan, they abused His name, but also they tried to copy the work of the apostle. They tried to copy the work of the apostle. Satan is a copycat. Satan will use religious men to accomplish his task. Satan has a false church. You say, which one is it? All of them that don't preach the Word of God. If there's a church that's not preaching the Word of God, it doesn't, by the way, just because a church is not Baptist doesn't mean it's not preaching the Word of God. We recognize that. Okay? There's going to be other people in heaven besides Baptists, okay? There's going to be Baptists in hell, too, by the way. Because it's not about being a Baptist that goes to heaven, it goes to hell. If you reject Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what church you went to. It doesn't matter what church you were in as a baby. No church takes you to heaven. No church takes me to heaven. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ takes us to heaven. Today, we have many churches, unfortunately, many churches that are copycats, and they are controlled by none other than the devil himself. And in fact, I would say that this is exactly what we see even right here in these seven young men. They were sons of the chief priests. I would say, dare say, that they were religious, but most definitely lost. I found this bit of information just to read to you. We could say that the sons of Sceva did not have the right to use the name of Jesus because they had no personal connection to him. In the same pattern, there are many people, many churchgoers, who will perish in hell because they have no personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They only know the Jesus that the... Listen to this. This was convicting when I read this. They only know the Jesus that the pastor preaches about. See, Jesus should not be a sermon on Sunday. Simply a sermon on Sunday. Jesus should not be a sermon on Wednesday night. Jesus should not simply be an RU meeting on Friday night. Jesus should not be just simply whatever somebody else is telling you. Jesus should be personal to you. Jesus Christ should be personal. He's your Savior. He's your best friend. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So it's not just the Jesus that we hear about on Sunday or the Jesus my spouse believes in instead of the Jesus of their own salvation. This is not what these seven men have. And I dare say there might even be people today here in this room online that Jesus is not your personal Savior yet. You haven't accepted Him yet. I trust today would be the day you would turn to Him. Paul performed a miracle in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It was the only way possible. Paul did not have the power to perform a miracle, but God's Spirit enabled him to do that. Maybe they were a little nervous. I was thinking about this. Maybe these seven sons were a little nervous that their daddy's congregation was going to get emptied out by the miracles of Paul. We better try to do one of these miracles too, because everybody's going to be heading over to the First Baptist Church of Ephesus. It wasn't the First Baptist Church, okay? The Baptists didn't come around for quite a while after this. So don't think that Baptist churches necessarily can be traced back to the apostles. Distinctives and beliefs, yes, but not the term Baptist church, okay? Even though John the Baptist was there, okay? Let's just get that out of the way, all right? But maybe they were a little bit, wow, hey, if this thing keeps going in Ephesus, you know, our dad, he's not going to have anybody at church. Nobody's going to be coming on Saturday. We better try to do one of these tricks. We better try to do one of these miracles. Ultimately, these men were being used by the enemy. They were being used by Satan to thwart the work of God. Quickly turn with me to Ephesians 2, and we'll set Ephesus 2. Ephesians 2. This is, again, Paul's writing back to this church where he's laboring right now. And so we can obviously relate much of what's being said in Ephesus can be related to what's happening right now in Acts. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, excuse me, I need to take a drink here. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Remember what we said about Ephesus. It was known for its witch doctor. It was known for its exorcisms. It was known for all of the things that they practiced there, of the occult, the black magic. So these people in the church could relate to what Paul is writing here. You were followers of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice the word in there. Word in. Satan is working in these people, these seven men, to thwart the work of God. Satan will use anyone that will yield to him and allow him. And praise the Lord, greater is he that is in us. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in us. Satan said he was in, it said here they were in the children of disobedience. Thankfully, for the one that is in us is greater than anything in this world today. It's not our power. It's of the Lord. He was working in these men, and he's still working the lives of unbelievers today. Number one, the counteraction of Satan. Number two, the cancellation of the plot. The cancellation of the plot. This is almost humorous, what happens next. It is a little bit humorous, actually. Look at verse 15. So what happens, let me just say what happens quickly. If you skip back up to verse 13. So basically, the seven sons of Sceva, they try to cast out an evil spirit by taking the name of Jesus, who they don't even believe in, but just taking this as a magic, you know, we'll do this in his name. I mean, look what Paul's been doing. We can just copy that. And so they try that. And this is what happens in verse 15. The evil spirit answered. So now the evil spirit that's inside of this man speaks to these seven false prophets. And he says, I know who Jesus is. Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. One man. Of course, he was powered by an evil spirit. One man whoops seven other men. And out they go. Tail tucked between their legs. Out they go. Gone. Trying to take the power that didn't belong to them and using it. Verse 16. And prevailed against them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. We see here the number one underneath this, that the evil spirit recognized Paul and Jesus. I want you to go back to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Interesting here as well. Mark chapter 1. Mark 1 and verse 21. God's word says, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority. This is Jesus teaching, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an what? Verse 23, unclean spirit. Unclean spirit. He cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee. I know thee who thou art. Every evil spirit knows who Jesus Christ is. Every evil spirit knows the power that Jesus Christ has. And as you go back to Acts chapter number 19, the evil spirit, as soon as these guys get finished with their ridiculous attempt, the evil spirit knows this isn't of God. Because the evil spirit knows Satan's false power too. Think about it. The evil spirit knows if they had even the power of Satan on them, the evil spirit might have listened to that. And so they're out of attempts both ways, if you will. The evil spirits at work in our world are not omniscient. They aren't all-knowing, but they recognize spiritual power and authority, and they also recognize its absence. It means they know when I'm not living in the book as I need to be living in the book. They know when my power level is down, and you know what then? Pounce. They know when my fuel tank of power of God is getting really, really low. Okay, now's the time to go after Ben. Now's the time to go after this person. Now's the time to go after this teenager. Now's the time to go after this. Their spiritual power is low. They know. By the way, they know the power of this book right here. They know the power of this book right here. Satan knows. Satan even knows the power of this book right here. And they know, again, they know what is coming. Let's make sure that we aren't just coming on Sundays to fill it up and waiting till next Sunday to fill it up. Every day, walk in the Word. Walk in the Word. Every day, get out the Bible. Let the Bible be in you. Strengthen yourself in the Word of God. Be prepared because, again, they know when we're weak and they're ready to pounce. But notice the question. They ask him, again, almost humorous, verse 15, who are ye? We even know Paul. We know all about Paul. We know definitely all about Jesus Christ, but we have no idea who you are. Secondly, the evil spirit does not listen to the false prophets, and we've kind of covered that already. These seven sons had no power over the spirit, these evil spirits, as Paul did. Giving the name of Jesus in an irreverent manner, they had no power. And again, I just mentioned it, but I want to say it just in how I wrote it here. It is a reminder to me today never to try and defeat the enemy in my own power. I'm no match for the power of the devil. So number one, we see the counteraction of Satan. And then number two, we see the cancellation of the plot. And then lastly, look what we see, number three. We see the confession at Ephesus. People are watching all this take place. This is not in a private setting. This is in a public setting. People are watching what's going on. They see that this sweat rag of Paul has been laid on people and they're healed. Wow. They see these seven guys march in and they make a scene, and we can do that too. We can one up that. We can do better than that. And they see them running out of the temple there, running out. What happens? Well, number one, underneath this, number one, Jesus' name is magnified. Jesus' name is magnified. Look at verse 17. And this was known. What was known? All that we've been talking about. This was, I mean, I don't even think that it was just right there. I think, you know how word travels, right? People begin to talk. This was known. This was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus. The whole city hears about this. You're not going to believe what I saw the other day. You're not going to believe what Jim told me. Jim told me what happened over there the other day. This is what Jim, he told me all about it. And boom, boom, boom. And the whole city, all the Jews, all the Greeks, all the Gentiles, everybody heard about it. Notice what it says. And fear fell on them all. Oh, that we might have a reverential respect and fear for the name of God. Oh, may God help you. May God help me never to take God's name in vain. It's not just saying, oh my G-O-D. That's a no-no, by the way. And we can pray to, you know, God help me, God help me, you know. I'm not talking about that. But it's also not taking a stand for his name. We need to take a stand for the name of God. And but anyway, so what it says here in verse 17, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Oh, I love to think about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, it says in John 12, 32, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men. We lift up the name of Jesus. We lift up the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will draw all men unto me. The apostles' goal was to magnify Jesus Christ. This is a goal worth copying as a born-again believer, that we would make sure that we recognize we deserve no praise. We deserve no honor. We deserve no glory. I deserve hell. You deserve hell. But by the grace of God today, we're saved in by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His name that brings salvation. It is His grace that allows me to be forgiven. It is His mercy that keeps me from going to hell. May we never lose sight of that. The name of Jesus, may it be magnified, not only in your life, but in the life of those whom you influence. And notice, nextly, that many believed in Jesus. Verse 18. And many that believed came. Now, you know what? Sometimes I miss little words in the Bible. There's no insignificant word in the Bible. Amen? Nothing is insignificant. It's there with and on purpose. But that word came. You know, it really stuck out to me. I can't believe that in all these years of reading the book of Acts and reading about these things, that didn't stick out to me. But this last week and previous week, it stuck out to me. They came. Came where? Again, as we read the Bible, let the Word of God speak. You know what? They came to the assembly of believers. They came to church. Christians should go to church. That's what happened here, right? It says, when they believed, they came and confessed and showed their deeds. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Someone who claims to be a Christian but has no desire to be in church, to me, is a contradiction. The local church is God's idea. This is not our idea. You didn't come up with it. I didn't come up with it. This is God's idea. So if someone is a child of God, don't you think they would want to be a part of His church? Acts 20:28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, and here it is, which He hath purchased with His own blood. When these people heard of the power of God and they heard the message of the Apostle Paul, they believed, they confessed, and they came. They came to where the assembly was. Oh, I want to encourage us today. I'm preaching to those of us I know that are in church, and some of us are online and some are coming later. But don't lose sight of this. Jesus Christ gave himself for the church. It doesn't mean just Anchor Baptist Church, but he gave himself for the church. And when we believe and we get saved, we need to come and be a part of the church. That's what these men did. I thought, man, that was so helpful to me. When someone receives Christ as Savior, they need to be discipled, encouraged to be a part of the local assembly of believers. Many believed, and it showed in that they came. Notice it went even further than that. Many of them, verse 19, many people believed in Jesus Christ, but also many people turned from their sin. Thirdly, they turned from their sin. They repented. Look what it says. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together. So it didn't start with the Ouija board, friends. It was around a long time before that. And other forms of things in witchcraft that should be nothing, we should have nothing to do with. They didn't take them to Value Village. Well, there was no Value Village, so better clarify that. Wow, Value Village is that old. Pastor Turner said there was a Value Village in Ephesus. No, there wasn't. Oh, Salvation Army, but not Value Village. Okay, keep it biblical, right? They burned them. You know what I remember? I remember being in some not very many, personally, but I remember at least a couple of times where I was in the presence of someone, actually more than that, because now I'm remembering a few back in the early days of Anchor Baptist, who had stacks of, or actually it wouldn't be stacks, it would be stacks of cassette tapes. Cassette tapes were this way, right? This was CDs, right? This is cassette tapes, okay. Cassette tapes, rock and roll music. Music from the devil himself. And they brought that along with some books and things. And I witnessed it several times. In a bucket or in a pail, if it's not a bucket, but in some kind of a pail of some kind, and just burnt the whole thing. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, probably, of dollars worth of junk. But when they came to know Christ as Savior and they realized this is controlling me, this is controlling my heart, this has more of my heart than God does, it wasn't take it down to the Value Village, it wasn't take it down to the Salvation Army, because who would we want to give that to? Nobody, I hope. It's burn it. It's destroy it. And we see it right here. Here's a biblical example of it. And God even wants us to know the price tag. Isn't that something? 50,000 pieces of silver. I tried to figure out, you have so many different people that think they everything, you know, I don't know. A couple different places, but I'm going to guesstimate it $30,000 to $50,000 today. Maybe more, I don't know. It really doesn't matter. It's 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money. Why? Because they recognized that they cannot serve the God of this world and the God of and the one true God at the same time. And because Jesus was inside of them, everything else had to go. And I'd encourage you today, let's make sure that in our homes there are no books, there are no images, there are no charms, there are no statues, there are no games that would have connection with demonic spirits. I don't know much about games today because we don't have them in our, and I'm talking about video games. I need to read up on them and study up on them a little bit so I can be at least know what's something to tell you, because I don't even know what to tell you about these video games, but I know this. I think some of them probably have it in them. What ones? I have no idea, honestly. Our kids are out of that phase and stage, and so thankfully the GameCube was what, you know, we ended with. But you have to be very careful. Satan will try to find his way in everywhere. And by the way, with the access to the internet, it only intensifies it. Even playing these games with people all over the world, not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying you need to be careful. If there's something in your home that would be connected to demonic spirits, is it worth keeping? Number one, no. Is it worth just giving to somebody else? No. Destroy it. Get rid of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Turn there quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 1, 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Notice that word turned. Turned. That's repentance. You can't have one hand in the world and one... I'm not saying that every sin has to be dealt with to be saved. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that God's word here and in many other places says because they believed, they turn. Because they received, they turn. They go hand in hand, don't they? Biblical salvation will bring change. Biblical salvation will bring conviction of sin and an awakening to righteousness. This particular event is an unusual path to revival. But that's what it led to. The Bible says all the Jews, all the Greeks in Ephesus heard about it. Many of them, I don't know how many that is, but many of them believed. They came to the church. They confessed. They got rid of all their curious arts. They burned them. What happened because of it? The revival's in verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. That, is God's word still mighty today? Yes, it is. Is God's word still powerful? Yes, it is. But you know what? If there's something in my life or in your life that needs to be burned, burn it. I'm not even saying literally. I'm just saying something that needs to be confessed. You don't have to tell me. Tell God. Because it's preventing the mighty word of God from prevailing in our life. When we still have one hand back on the old.